Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall.
Rise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
And good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. You're listening to The Watchman here on the Omega Radio Network. It's good to be with everyone today. We're going to have a very fast-paced, but yet very slowed-down, conservative, moderate. I don't know what we're going to have today. I'm not sure it's going to be that way at all. As a matter of fact, I'm going to begin with something that maybe you were not aware of. Maybe you were aware of it. And then we're going to get into the word today for a personal word for someone out there today, and I believe that this message today is going to change someone's life, and I believe that with all of my heart, and I believe that there are already good things that are going on in the saints of God and the elect of God. But let me just share with you right off the start here today a video and a message. Hold on. No, we don't want to have this. Hold on. So this is the mayor of Oakland about, 8 or 9 days ago, I guess this happened. It was actually February 28th that this happened, I believe. And here's what's interesting. You know, and I know that the present administration under Donald J. Trump has been making war with a particular gang called MS-13. And MS-13 has been known to be very brutal, very dangerous. They've been thousands and thousands of MS-13 members throughout the United States of America. And this video clip is concerning the mayor, a warning. Okay, so last Sunday, Oakland Mayor Libby Schaar held a press conference to warn families that ICE would be conducting raids. And so 150 Northern Californians rounded up this week by immigration agents aren't the only ones facing serious legal charges from the federal government.
An ICE activity.
And I keep hitting that button. But Oakland Mayor Libby Schaar, who issued a public and controversial warning last week that the feds were closing in on suspected undocumented immigrants, could also be in hot water as the Department of Justice is reportedly looking into whether obstruction of justice charges against the mayor could be filed. So here's what's happening. Libby Schaar, the mayor of Oakland, literally held a press conference to warn illegal immigrant families of a raid that was coming from ICE, which is connected to our federal government. And this is why you heard a couple, 10, 15 days ago, the president talking about withdrawing ICE and the Border Patrol out of California because they were not cooperating. And here's an instance of the local government in California not cooperating with what is trying to be accomplished because, again, probably this mayor is concerned about the Dreamers or undocumented immigrants who are not part of ICE, I would imagine. But let's listen to the mayor of Oakland and see what she had to say about this raid that she was aware of by ICE that was coming into her territory.
Land in the Bay Area that could be starting as soon as today. My priority is to keep this community safe. It is not my wish to panic people, but to ensure that they're prepared with information, that they know their rights as well as their responsibilities, and know about the resources that this community offers. My information did not come through official channels. It came from multiple sources that cited extremely credible sources for their information. They do not wish to be shared. My understanding is that this is ICE activity and that it will be Bay Area-wide. I did seek legal counsel about what my obligations are in this situation. And while I am very committed to being a law-abiding citizen, I feel confident that my sharing this information, because I did not receive it through official channels, is legal, and frankly, it's my ethical obligation.
The message we want to give today to our community is to be prepared. It is important for us to understand that sometimes what ICE is doing with its tactics is to try to paralyze our communities. We want to encourage our families to try their best to continue doing their lives. And we understand that there are choices that have to be made. We are not 100% secure that ICE is going to be doing what they say. And in any case, we need to be prepared.
Okay, so here we have a let me just shut this down here. Here we have a video clip of the mayor of Oakland, and you have to ask why the mayor of Oakland would turn against ICE activity, against a MS-13 gang raid that was ready to take place. And so in one headline, the conservative Learning Washington Times cried out, "Lock Libby up." So U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement officials announced on Tuesday that its agents had made the arrest in a three-day sweep starting Sunday and covering cities that included Sacramento, Stockton, in the Central Valley. About half of those arrested for being in the country illegally had criminal convictions, the agency said. So Schaff, the mayor of Oakland, who had said her very public heads up for families at risk was her duty and moral obligation, stands by her decision, even though she has since received death threats for doing so. She now faces a growing storm of criticism from the Trump administration and supporters of its efforts to crack down on illegal residents, many of whom live and work in the Bay Area. So Fox News, which was given a ride along with ICE officers during the operation, reported Wednesday that agency officials were asking the Department of Justice to investigate whether Schaff had broken any laws by going public with her tip. The Justice Department has not yet announced what, if any, legal actions it would pursue against Schaff, and a spokesperson did not immediately respond to a request for comment. So a very interesting thing, and again, the thoughts that were being presented to me when this was being shared by a dear friend of mine, I thought it was incredulous. I thought, well, why would the mayor resist the federal government rounding up criminals, brutal gang, MS-13, and I'm sure it is because there are innocent people that are undocumented that are living in her community, and she did not want those families torn apart or ripped apart. And, you know, and yet we read here that the people that were – the majority of people that were rounded up were people that had committed crimes. And, again, this was MS-13. So maybe we could share a little bit about our thoughts there, but this – is what the president was talking about when he said, I'm thinking about withdrawing ICE and the Border Patrol from California and allow them to just deal with their own criminal activities and see what would happen. And this is kind of related to that. So Maybe you have some thoughts on that, maybe some insight about it, and we'll get into that in just a little bit. Now I'm going to put that down because we don't need to be there right now. So with that said, that's kind of on the news front. I really want to talk to somebody out there today about something that is very important, and it is we are living in times where what will be required for each one of us as Christian men and women of faith, realizing that there is a growing animosity, the enmity that began in the Garden of Eden against the creation, and the prophecy in the Garden of Eden concerning the war between the seed, which is Christ, and the adversary, Satan. Now, we're coming to the culmination of that age, and the great tribulation of Revelation chapter 12 and 13 is in view in the moment that we're living in. And that means that the men and women of faith living on the earth in these last days must be prepared to go through the difficult times that we're living in. Now, there has been a wonderful hedge around many people's lives, not all, as you know, around the world and other countries. It appears that there are many martyrs and a lot of people are going through much persecution for their faith in the Messiah. And what I want to bring forth today is it's a message, because you and I for over 4 months have been talking about what God wants to bring into our lives. God literally is desiring to release something so dynamic within this earth. He wants to impart something into the earth that will save people's lives. The people that are living and shrouded in darkness will be illuminated. There will be an awakening so that they could see for maybe the first time in a long time the darkness they've been in. They could cry out for salvation in the name of Jesus. God wants to bring an activity within his church to bring forth into different regions around the world the activity of the kingdom of God. We have been stirred up about this. We have seen this as a prophetic unction, and God is preparing the moment that both light and darkness are growing. And so I came across this word yesterday, and I want to share it with you. And I know it's corporate, and I know it's individual as well. And I want to begin with Scripture, and I want to go back to Genesis chapter 26. And I want to begin in verse 12, Genesis chapter 26, verse 12. Then Isaac, who was the son of Abraham, remember Abraham had his first two sons were Ishmael, was his firstborn, but that was from his handmaiden Hagar, right? But his first son from his beloved wife Sarah, Abraham and Sarah, their son, a son of promise, because she was 90, he was 100, the womb was dead, but yet the baby was born, praise God. And this is the one that Yahweh had told him about. Father God told Abraham, this is the son that you're going to have who's the son of promise. So we're later on now in Isaac's life, and we're told again in Genesis 26:12, then Isaac sowed in that land and received in the same year a hundredfold, and the Lord blessed him. And the man waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great. For he had possession of flocks and possession of herds and great store of servants. And the Philistines envied him. All right, so let's look at Isaac for just a moment. I want to make a prophetic proclamation to somebody out there today. It says in verse 12 that Isaac sowed in that land and received in the same year a hundredfold, not 30-fold, not 60-fold, but a hundredfold. And I want you to know that a year begins in the Hebrew calendar on the first day of the first month, Nisan, which we talked about yesterday, will be March 17th. But the very first gathering time of the beginning of the year is the Feast of Passover, which begins on March 30th at the setting of the sun. That's Friday, March 30th. Put it on your calendar, and wherever you are, make sure that you participate in the Feast of Passover. There's a tremendous amount of spiritual activity that needs to be understood intrinsically for our lives personally. Okay, and we'll talk more about that as we go. But I want you to know that a very difficult time that Isaac sowed in the land, and the same year he reaped a hundredfold. Okay, there's a prophetic promise there for someone. But I want to move forward because his reaping in that same year, in other words, made him very great. And he went forward. In other words, he moved in the destiny of God that God had for him. And he had great wealth. He had great possessions. But there was a problem with his acceleration. With his growth, with his wealth, came the envy of his enemies. And we read in verse 14 that the Philistines envied him. And I want to just look at that word envied, because this is a problem. And it simply means, it's a Hebrew word, kana, and it means to be jealous and to be provoked. And this jealousy that the Philistines had against Isaac was very real. But now let's move forward and see what their jealousy drove them to do. It says in verse 15 of Genesis chapter 26, "For all the wells which his father's servants had digged in the days of Abraham, his father, the Philistines had stopped them and filled them with earth. And Abimelech said unto Isaac, Go from us, for thou art much mightier than we." So again, we see Isaac becoming a mighty man, moving forward. The blessing of God is upon him. There's a recognition of his greatness from God, but there's an envy from his enemies. And it says in verse 17 that Isaac departed thence and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there. And Isaac digged again the wells of water which they had digged in the days of Abraham, his father, for the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham, and he called their names after the names by which his father had called them. So in other words, the wells had names. And here we have the wells that Father Abraham had dug, which was life-giving water to the cattle, to the people, right? But after Abraham had died, the Philistines had filled them up. They blocked them. They put a stop, a block on them. Verse 19. Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found there a well of springing water. And the herdmen of Gerar, excuse me, did strive with Isaac's herdmen, saying, "The water is ours." And he called the name of the well Esek, because they strove with him. And the word, excuse me, Esek in the Hebrew is contention. Okay, so the word Esek is contention, strife. And so here we have the life of Isaac. He's moving forward. God is blessing him. They're now settling, and there's a multiplication ready to happen in his world because he's married. There's going to bring forth Jacob and Esau. Remember, there's life going on, but there's a problem, and this contention between the enemies rose up. And so in verse 21, his response to the contention was this: they digged another well, drove for that also. And he called the name of it Sitna. All right. And the word Sitna in the Hebrew, again, simply means strife. It is strife. So we have contention and strife coming from the enemy to lay claim to the water that is necessary for the well-being of God's elect people. And you know that Isaac was the promised seed. This is the one that God had his hand on. Now we move on to verse 22. And he says, here's his response to the strife at the second well. He removed from thence and digged another well. And for that they strove not. So the third well, the third time, he called the name of it Rehoboth. And he said, "For now the Lord has made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land." And that name, Rehoboth, means in the Hebrew, it's rekovoth, and it means wide places or streets, and it just gives place, wide spaces. In other words, God is now given a place for the promised seed to dwell. And that promised seed, which according to the flesh was Isaac, well, now is going to come a multiplication of his loins. Out of his loins will come a nation. Even we know that that is Israel that comes forth out of his loins. So where am I here? There we are. So we are in verse 22. They dug this. He named it Rehoboth. And he said, we shall be fruitful in the land. Verse 23 says, and he went up from thence to Beersheba, and then we have the story of God coming to him and a lot more happening. So what's the point of the story? I want us to remember that our father Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, if you and I have faith, we are connected to Abrahamic covenant. Abraham had dug wells in his day. But we see here a type and shadow of the enemy blocking the wells. Now, I want you to know something. The Lord Jesus Christ made it abundantly clear that there were wells of living water flowing out of the belly of everyone who has received the Holy Spirit. And I want you to know that you may be connected to a bloodline where your mommy, your daddy, your grandma, your grandpa, your great-grandma, your great-grandpa on both sides of the bloodline, that there may have been someone in your bloodline that at one time had the wells of living water flowing out, and yet through the generational bloodline curses, the enemy came along and he stopped those wells, and now you're here as a seed of promise, as a child of promise, And yet you're trying to get on with your life and you want to see the blessing of God upon your life and you've received the Holy Spirit, but there's a time to redig the wells. Okay. There's a time of redigging the wells. And so let me get to this prophetic word about the wells of life. And let's connect this to the Genesis 26 story. God said, I have wells to drink of that have yet opened. While knowledge is increasing and man's understanding is opening, there still remains a veil over the heart. Many today are seeing, as it were, through a glass. The picture is not yet crystal clear as to what I am doing in the earth today. There is still a great deal of speculation in the hearts of my people, for they have not yet settled into a place of absoluteness concerning their mission and function in my body. If I were to release the floodgates at this time, much of what I would pour out would be lost through the cracks. My body has not yet been compacted together and joined together in a way that would contain the fresh and precious water that I am prepared to send. Now, you and I both know that the water we're talking about here is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. This is revival. This is the living waters. This is the springing up of the wells of waters of life that come from the Holy Spirit. That's very clear in John chapter 7 that the living waters are the Holy Spirit. And when it rains out of heaven, when God sends rain out of heaven, he's talking about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit and that rain coming to water the seed that's in the good soil of the heart. And yet God is saying that he is prepared to send a deluge, floods of rivers of living waters. I mean, we see what's going on with the nor'easterlies, right? And the floods that are coming into the land. We see these things, and it's negative on that side. But imagine God wanting to send deluges of living waters, floods. He wants the fountains to burst forth. He wants the living waters to flow out of the belly of his people all over the world. God wants to deluge the earth with the Holy Spirit activity, right? And yet the Lord is saying here, that if I were to do that right now, I'm already foretelling you I'm going to do it. I want to get this done. But if I were to do it at this very moment, much of what I would release would get lost in the cracks because there is no real spiritual unity that is able to contain those living waters. Now, it's very interesting when we talk about the living waters and the cisterns, if you will. It is spoken in the prophet Jeremiah when he talks about the cisterns. And I want to look at that verse for just a moment here in Jeremiah 2:13. All right, here's what it says in Jeremiah 2:13. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. So here is an idea coming from the prophet that the fountain of living waters was Yahweh. He was the life source. He was the giver of life. It was by his inspiration, by who he is, that he would give life to his people, but they had forsaken him. And so they hewed them out their own cisterns, but they were broken and they could not hold any water. Well, in the church right now, maybe in your family, maybe in your home, maybe in your relationships with one another in the body of Christ, there are broken cisterns. Because when we forsake the laws of God, when we forsake the commandments of God, we will go about building our own way. And what God is saying today is that until you do this the way I want it done, you are not going to be able to contain what I want to give. So you say, well, the commandments of God. In the New Testament, one of the great commandments is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. And I want to read it to you because this is not just one verse. This is everywhere in Scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10, the Apostle Paul said this. Now I beseech you, brethren. That means I really am reaching out to you by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Wow, that is a powerful thing. But listen to the next verse. For it has been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now, that is what the name of those wells were back in Genesis, contention and strife from the adversary. And so wherever there is contention, there is a blocking of the flow of the living waters. Now, the Apostle Paul is telling the New Testament church that the only way you're going to be a beneficiary or a recipient of the living waters in your life personally and in the unity of the Spirit is by being unified. In other words, where there is contention, there is no flow. You cannot contain what God wants to give. And this is a very powerful principle, but it's everywhere in the new covenant. It's in the book of Ephesians. It's in the book of Colossians. It's in the book of Philippians. It's in the book of Thessalonians. It is in 1 Peter, 2 Peter, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. It is everywhere that God has called the church to a unity, to a compacted, joined together, situated people that are one, so that then God could send the power of the kingdom into that body. As a matter of fact, in the book of Acts, they were all in one accord, in one place, and that's when the Holy Spirit came. Do you remember? Do you remember? It says in Acts chapter 2, here's how the early church got the baptism of the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. There appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. The first baptism of the Holy Spirit within a corporate body happened 2,000 years ago in Jerusalem. I actually was in that upper room And it was an amazing thing when we were in Jerusalem to sit there and to remember that that was the place that the Holy Spirit came from the sound of a mighty rushing wind. But I want you to know the reason why God was able to send it at that moment is because the people that were gathered together, they were of one heart. They were of one mind. They were of one judgment. They spoke the same thing. There was no contentions among them. And wherever there is a quarreling, contentious spirit, wherever strife is, it is designed by the Philistine devils, if you will, to stop the living waters from flowing. If you are in a marriage and there is nothing but quarreling, nothing but contention, nothing but strife, you're not going to get the living waters. If you're in a home where there's no unity, there's no peace, there's no joined togetherness, you're not going to get it. If you go to a church and there's nothing but quarreling and contention and strife and debate and bickering and backbiting, you're not going to get it. And so when you extend that principle out to the ecclesia all over the world, and ecclesia meaning, that's the Greek word for church, meaning the called out ones, if wherever there is strife and contention, there can be no outflow of the purpose of God. And God will not release an outpouring of the Holy Spirit because the broken cisterns of that home, that marriage, that church, it'll just get lost. They can't hold any water. So why waste it? Why waste it? So what is God looking for in this hour? God is looking for a spiritual unity among spiritual men and women of God who have been born again, and the Lord is wanting to join and knit together the hearts of his people in a way that they care for one another. But what do we continue to hear? We continue to hear and see everywhere people have disgruntlements towards this brother. People have disgruntlements towards that sister. I don't like this one. I don't trust that one. I don't believe this one. I don't believe that one. And there has to be a watch. I get that. There has to be a caution because you don't want to let the enemy in because there, you know, he'll do all kinds of stuff. But even among the people that labor together, there's got to be a unity. And I am declaring that we are going to get it, that wherever you are today, that you, here's where it all begins. And I believe this with all my heart. Unity begins in our own personal lives with the Master, Jesus Christ himself. Okay, if I'm not at unity with him personally, how can I ever be at unity with my brother or my sister around me or about me? I must find spiritual contentment, spiritual peace, spiritual harmony, spiritual unity in my own heart with Jesus. Now, I know a lot of people try to find unity. They try to find harmony. They try to find peace and solace and contentment in their own lives. But if it is not rooted in a relationship with Jesus Christ, it is not a true harmony. It is not a true peace. Yes, you and I must find relationship with our God, with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And then we have the potential to be able to harmonize or to unify with other individuals that they themselves have come into harmony and peace with their personal relationship with Jesus Christ. If you try to harmonize people that are part of a religious system, it's going to break down. So religion is the enemy of relationship. And I'm talking about false religion, not the true religion of being unspotted from this world, caring for the widows and orphans. That's true religion, according to James. But I'm talking about that religious organizational structure. I'm talking about religion versus relationship. And so where does it begin? It begins with my inward peace with the Prince of Peace. I'm at unity. You go back to Isaac, and Isaac was kind of by himself, but he had relationship with Yahweh. And his relationship with Yahweh, because he was connected to the Abrahamic covenant promises, there was an oversight of Yahweh. Now you who have been called to faith in God through Jesus Christ, God is watching over you. You're connected. You're like Isaac was. And you need to know that God has a personal relationship with you and wants to be in harmony with you, which means God gave the commandment, you keep the commandment. God gives us his will, we do his will. God leads the way, we follow the way. Okay, this is never about me taking things into my own hands, doing it my way, building my own cisterns. They won't work. It won't work. So if we want these living waters, this outrageous blessing, if we want to see not just the outpouring of the Holy Spirit causing us to speak in other tongues, but if we want to see the miracle signs and wonders of this generation, if we want to be impacted by the rivers of living water, it's going to begin with a spiritual harmony. Now, I want to ask you a question. Are you at harmony with God? Forget about your wife or your husband. Forget about your children or your parents. I'm asking you, are you an individual that walks in unity with the Holy Spirit that has been given to you? Are you following the lead of the Holy Spirit? And I'll ask myself the same question. But it's very important that you answer. Are you obeying the Word of God in everything it tells us to do in the New Covenant in the New Testament? Are you following the teachings of Jesus? Are you following the teachings of the apostles? Are you obeying the Word of God? Because if you are not, and do not claim ignorance, well, I didn't know. The only reason why you don't know is because you don't read the Bible. Anybody could sit down and read the Bible in our generation. Thank God in America, there are other people that the Bibles have been taken away, and a time will come when the Word of God will be removed. You better get it downloaded in your spirit, in your mind, in your heart, right? But again, I'm asking you, and you cannot claim ignorance, are you obeying the Word of God? Are you doing what Jesus told you to do? And I could tell you scriptures everywhere. Have you forsaken the gathering of yourselves together with the body of Christ? The Word of God says not to do it. And I'm telling you, the only way you're ever going to answer that question in honesty is by knowing what God says. And that's why your personal time in the Word of God, and then being part of a body where there are apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers who have been given as gifts to the church, are there to help you in your growth processes. Are you submitted? Are you in harmony with God? Are you working it out? Okay, this is very, very, very important because listen, if that's not the case, you're wasting your time. I'm telling you the truth. If you're involved in going to church and being religious, but you're not obeying God, you're wasting your time. If everything is about, well, I just want to go to heaven and I'm afraid of going to hell, you're wasting your time. Either you have a personal relationship with the Father who loves you and the Lord Jesus Christ who died for you and the Holy Spirit that's been given to you, or you don't. And if that relationship does not bless you, if you think it's religious obligation, then it's not worthy. But I'm talking here about relationship like Isaac had, like Abraham had, personal relationship with God, like Jesus had, like the apostles had, and every person in the church is to have. God is able to nurture you, to father you, to raise you up, to train you, whether you're a male or a female, whether you're red, white, yellow, brown, black. It doesn't matter. God, when you come to Him and His Spirit is in you, God tends to you as the only person in the universe. And yet He does that with every other person. He's the omnipresent God. He's amazing that He's able to impart Himself to every human being on this earth and beyond into universes, right? And so we're talking here about a personal relationship. This is not about anything else. Now, I want to ask you a question. Do you want the promises that God is making for this generation? And I'm sure that you, like me, would say, yes, I want the promises. So I want to get back to this prophetic word here, and it goes on. There is still too much self-serving and selfish ambition in the body of my love. My body has yet to understand the vast importance of the corporate function. There are still independent members who have not yielded to the corporate man-child company that I am raising up in the earth today. I have given much knowledge and outpourings of revelation to my body recently, but much has not profited the body due to a lack of spiritual unity. Ladies and gentlemen, I must say that God in the last several months on this Omega Radio Network has been pouring out a revelation, an epiphany, a prophetic direction. He has painted the picture well of what He wants to do in our generation. And we've all said, yeah, I'm blessed by that, but where has it profited us? And God is saying in this prophetic word, it doesn't profit if there's no spiritual unity. Again, we could all appear to be really good people on Sunday morning, but what's going on behind closed doors. That's what really counts. And some of us don't even do a very good job of, you know, making believe on Sunday mornings. You know what I mean. And here's what God says. Let's continue on. The quarrels, the fights, the wars, jealousies, opinions, and other antagonisms have restricted the flow of anointing. For all these things are childish and to no avail. I have seen a people scattered in the earth that I have chosen for such a time as this. There you are, sir. There you are, ma'am. You're out there. God sees you. He's chosen you for this moment. That's why you're hearing this right now. These I am gathering together. These are new connections. These are the parts that have been missing. These are the intended ones that have been chosen before the foundations of the world to come forth in this hour and give glory to my name. You see, God is calling you. God has chosen you to be gathered together with other people in his body that are much like you because we all share the same Holy Spirit. That's what unifies us, not about our personalities or our differences. We're all very uniquely different from one another, but we are all sharing the same Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is not schizophrenic. He is not double-minded. He is not bipolar. The Holy Spirit is the same. And when it's the genuine Holy Spirit that you received and the genuine Holy Spirit I received, you and I have something in common. And you and I are living out from that same Holy Spirit, just like we've received the same bread of life, Jesus Christ. And we all partake of that same bread. And so this is what unifies us. And yet we just read, it's so disheartening that the quarrels, the fights, the wars, the jealousies, the opinions, the other antagonisms have restricted the flow of anointing. Dear God, continuing on. These are the ones I have chosen to fulfill my purpose, not in an individual way, but in a corporate way. For I will not release the flow of the untapped well until this body has been formed and brought together unto unseparateness. So there you have it. God's holding back until there's a unity in the local body. Now, there are churches all over the earth, but there are local churches everywhere, the local body of Christ. And there are many local gatherings together, and in each one of them, God is seeking unity. Unity, not just in doctrine, not just in creed, not just in denominationalism. God is seeking unity of the Spirit, where people are partaking of the same Holy Spirit, and they are partaking of the same bread of life. And the bread of life and the Spirit of God are working in the life of individuals to bring them to a transformation. Okay? Let's go on. The glory they give to me is through their love for one another. Okay, so now this is the love talk here. God is calling the body to love. And where there's love, there's not going to be contention, quarreling, strife, division, debate. This is a spiritual union where each member is accepted and loved and honored and preferred before the other. You know, we are all very, very opinionated. We are all very much, we like people that we like. We accept people that are acceptable to us. And I got news for you. There are people, I am sure, that God has accepted that you and I would never approve of. I am confident of that until we become much more like him. But God is choosing people, so our part is to love. The question has been asked. Maybe you've asked this question. Can there ever be a perfect body of believers who are one in judgment, thought, and purpose in the earth? The answer is found so clearly in the Word of God, which is simply this. I am coming for a glorious church, not having any spot or wrinkle or blemish or any such thing. I am coming to be glorified and admired in my saints. So when you think about a glorious church not having spot, wrinkle, or blemish or any such thing, obviously that is a church that has put on Christ. I will tell you a truth that has been revealed in this body of whom I have spoken. Okay, and I'm believing that you and I are part of this body. We're going to get this. We're going to win. There's victory here. These understand that they are a perfect body of believers living in the earth who walk in perfect love. You say, wait, nobody's perfect. I disagree. The Bible tells us that we are perfect in Christ Jesus. We are never perfect in ourselves, but in Jesus, we are perfect. And this body knows that. There's an intelligence deep on the inward parts through the Holy Spirit that has revealed that revelation knowledge, that there is perfect love, which casts out all fear, that there is perfection in Christ Jesus. And if we are in Christ, we are perfect and complete and mature in him. We need to begin that journey by faith, and we need to walk it out until it becomes a reality. But from God's perspective, it's already a finished work. Now, there's also this knowledge. They have the wisdom and understanding of what true love is, so that false religious ideas and concepts have no place among them. These have been perfected in genuine care and tenderness towards those with whom they have been joined to. You see, that's true love. It's sacrificial. It's tenderness. It's care. It's affection. It's wanting to see others prosper. It's desiring to see everybody that they're connected to blessing of Christ, right? The ultra dynamic of this body is that they walk in divine power and authority. They have been so knit together by my spirit that there is no lack, gap, or chasm in them. Who are they? They are those who have been taken into the fires. They have gone through the waters. They have been tested to the core. These are the stones which were burnt, but have come forth as brilliant spiritual stones of radiating glory. They have come to a place of maturity. They have taken within them a divine nature in the exactness of my image. They have believed me for everything I have spoken through my word. Now, let me give a word of caution. If you're listening to this broadcast right now and you have something of an antagonism against what you're hearing, it is living proof that you're not part of the body yet. I'm telling you, if there's an antagonism inside of you and you're resisting this word, because this is God's word, I can find scriptures everywhere concerning this message. It is just proof that you are not part of the body. You want to get on with end times only, right? You want to get on with last days, bad news, terrible destruction, catastrophe, because you want Jesus to come. I get that. This message must resonate in the depths of your heart in an intimate, personal way for you to even be connected to the true body of Christ. This is God's heart for his church. This is Jesus's heart for his church. He's got the end times already worked out. He's going to handle it just fine. He's already foretold us. He's got everything in the palm of his hands. And yes, he tells us to declare what we see, what's coming. Yes, we get that. It's intense. It's dramatic. It's thematro. It's theater. It's huge, right? But this is the Father's heart concerning you and concerning all who belong to the body of his love. They have taken within them a divine nature in the exactness of my image. They have believed me for everything I have spoken through my word. They have embraced the truth of freedom and victory and will not be turned away. They are the overcomers of the new millennial morning and are being brought to high places and are being advanced with rapid transport. The doors promised to them have begun to open, and their lives have been transformed into abundant, joyful, radiant lives, giving glory to Jesus each and every day. These have been given a supernatural power in such a measure that those who touch them have touched the apple of my eye. Yes, this is the tabernacle of David, restored and perfected with my spirit from above. This tabernacle is strong and valiant and has learned to put the enemy to flight. These are as bold as lions and gentle as doves. These are as God in the earth. And that comes from Zechariah 12:8, that the tabernacle of David will, the house of David will be as God in the earth. Read it. Why? Because I dwell in them. My son and I have come to them and have tabernacled in them. The full force of my power and ability is in them so that I do great exploits through them. These operate out of the same anointing as Jesus did while he was in the earth. They are his eyes, ears, mouth, and feet. How will you know them? You will be among them, and they will speak of glorious things, and they speak as they speak. You will be elevated to a higher place in your spirit, not because of high-sounding words, but because of the words of truth and power mixed with their faith. You will be healed in their presence. You will not pick up one hint of schism among them. There will be no false religious facade of love, but a genuine liberating spirit among them. You will see different measures of glory in each one of them, but not one shall be seen as above the other, just a different expression of my many-faceted nature within them. And I sit back and I say, wow, Almighty God, your plan, your purpose for what you want to accomplish in your people, in your church in these days is absolutely phenomenal and amazing. And very few people, quite frankly, can handle this kind of conversation because there's a block. Listen, wherever there's contention, quarreling, strife, there's a block. This revelation, this wisdom, this knowledge, this direction is blocked. It's like a tomb in front of a stone. It's like a stone in front of a tomb. The stone that was rolled in front of the tomb of Jesus Christ was to block him. Hold back that light. Hold back that life. But on the third day, the resurrection power of the Holy Spirit, that stone was rolled out of the way. And I'm here today to say it is time to roll the stone out of the way, to unstop the wells of living water that are already on the inside of you. For the wells of living water are in you, but the contention, the enemy has brought so much strife, contention, and quarreling and argument in your relationships that it's been blocked and your understanding has been darkened. But God has brought me here today to tell you that time is over. This is now the time to bring peace to your relationships, to your relationship with God first. Get in harmony with him. Get in harmony in your relationships. Stop looking at the condition of things. Get in harmony with the body of Christ. I want to open the lines for anybody that has anything they would like to share about what they're hearing today. The number to call is 818-369-0326. Does this have any impact in your life? 369-0326. Do you want to see the blessing of God roll in your life? Do you want to see the living waters release in your experience on this earth? Do you want to see the glory of God manifest in every relationship you have in the body of Christ? Do you want to see the glory be poured out like it was 2,000 years ago? I'm telling you right now is the time. Now is the time to bind up, to rebuke, to cast out the spirits of the Philistines. I'd like to hear from you, 818-369-0326. Press 1 on your dial pad. I'll bring you right into the broadcast. We've got about 7 minutes before we have to move on. 7 minutes before moving on. I want to ask you this question, too. We talked about a mayor over in Oakland. That's pretty amazing, wasn't it? I mean, she's literally forewarning gang members in her community because she's trying to protect other people who are not gang members, right? But she had to forewarn of a raid that was coming. It's pretty exciting stuff. But I want to ask you this. Was that more exciting to you than the idea that there's life inside of you, that you are the well and the living waters are in you, but these things in the world have held it back, and God wants that living water in you to flow, and that's a river of living water, crystal clear, to flow out everywhere you go today. Love of God, joy of God, peace of God, power of God, anointing of God, richness of God, wealth of God, words, wisdom, revelation, knowledge, understanding, impartation. Are you ready to release what is on the inside of you, which ultimately is Christ and the Holy Spirit of God? The Bible talks about a crystal clear river of life flowing from the throne of God unto his own. It's in you. It's just been buried by the Philistines because of their envy and jealousy. The devil doesn't want that life coming out of you. The devil doesn't want that life coming out of a local assembly of believers. You know what that would do to the region? Do you know what would happen to the local community if a local body of believers came into this kind of unity? And all of a sudden, we saw what happened in the book of Acts. They came down out of the upper room. They started prophesying in the streets. And thousands came to faith in Christ in one day. Do you realize why the enemy would not want this to happen? But I've got news for everybody. Whether it happens in you and I or not, it's going to happen because there are some people that are laboring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, not for their own will, but for the cause of Christ. People are dying to themselves. They're giving up their right to be right just so that the unity of the Spirit can exist. They're praying and trusting God to deal with issues that they've been trying to deal with their whole life and have not been able to. I'm telling you, this is a strategic moment in the body of Christ. It is a supernatural moment, and the only labor of the saints of God in this hour is to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. It's giving up our dislikes. It's giving up our aggravations, our frustrations with people. It's giving up and allowing love to cover a multitude of sin. This is the real Christian walk. This is Jesus dying for sinners. This is Jesus dying for Pharisees, scribes, hypocrites, enemies, Roman Empire. This is Jesus dying for people like you and me. This is Jesus' love. This is God's love. You go to a local assembly, you belong to a body, it's time to snuggle in. Oh, there's always a Judas in the midst. There's no doubt about that. You know, because that's just how the devil is. You think the devil's going to give up his operation to continue to keep things separated? He doesn't care how long a church exists in a region, as long as it doesn't impact the region. He doesn't care about how much food and you give out to somebody and water in a pantry. I mean, he doesn't really care about that. He doesn't care if you're a big church, a little church, what you think about yourself. As long as there's no Holy Spirit, kingdom of God, unction to function in the community that breaks yokes and sets the captives free. As long as there's no deliverance, as long as there's no miracles, signs, and wonders giving glory to Jesus Christ so that thousands of people come out of the prisons of darkness, he doesn't care about anything else. And I'm telling you that you could have a few people gathered together working out this kind of salvation, trusting God that in his timing, he'll pour it out suddenly in his own way. And I'm telling you, when that moment comes, when God releases, because he has seen a body in the depths of their heart. See, the Bible says we're knit together in our hearts, not in our souls. We're not knit together in our emotions. I quite frankly don't want to know your emotions, and I don't want to share your emotions. And quite frankly, you don't want to share my emotions. I guarantee it. And I don't want to share your thoughts, and you certainly don't want to share my thoughts. And I don't want to share your memories, and you certainly don't want to share my memories. All I want to share in the Spirit is Christ. I don't want to know no man after the flesh. I don't want to know you after the flesh. I really don't care, and you really won't care about where I've been in the flesh. No, We are knit together in our hearts in the Spirit. It's been awfully quiet out there today. I gave you what I believe is the most important thing of what this moment is about. You know, we could go on from day to day and week to week and month to month and year to year and hear a bunch of stuff till it happens. God is speaking to us just like he spoke to the children of Israel in the house of bondage in Egypt 3,500 years ago when he described a promised land. All they had was faith. And then faith without works is dead. So in other words, they needed to go forth. God has told us what he wants to do. He wants to pour out his Spirit in our generation. It's going to happen maybe in China, Africa, North America, South America, Europe. It's going to happen in the islands of the sea. There are communities of believers that have learned to love one another, to care, to promote each other's well-being before themselves. It does exist. It does exist. It is the cross. It is the power of God through the cross to make it so. I'm going to go to a quick little break. When we come back, Patricia Joy Xavier is going to be ministering right here on the Omega Radio Network. You've been listening to The Watchman. I'm Pastor Vincent Xavier. Just a quick little song, as usual, one of my favorites. It's the Father's Song. We'll be right back.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. What an encouraging word from Pastor Vincent Xavier. If we don't begin to understand what we have been called to, I don't think we're going to know how to get through these days we're in. We won't be able to experience the glory that God has for us. I am Patricia Xavier. I pastor with Pastor Vincent Xavier at New Wine Ministries, and I will be teaching from my book, Deliverance, The Christian Bill of Rights. You know, many people have problems as to whether or not they really believe that Satan is at work. Well, let me tell you, there is such a thing, and there is such an animal. We have a tendency to act like a two-year-old child who closes their eyes and places a blanket over their head, really believing that no one can see them because they cannot see them. Just because we cannot see the spiritual realm does not mean it is not there. Do you remember Keith Green, the singer Keith Green? He is a Christian songwriter. He wrote, "I, Satan, used to have to sneak around, but now they just open their doors. No one's looking for my tricks because no one believes in me anymore." How true is that? You know, however if we choose to ignore or not believe in the spiritual realm, we will find ourselves confused, we'll find ourselves frustrated, and quenching the peace that God has promised to each one of us. You know, the best defense is a strong offense. Just educating ourselves about the spiritual realm is half the battle. And God gives us everything else we need to be victorious with the other half. Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights was written that we can deal with spiritual warfare and know what we're doing. As of yesterday, we talked about the fear of rejection, the spirit of pride that is always prevalent in deliverance. We talked about rejection and rebellion and pride as ruling spirits. And the lesser spirits, such as fear and hurt, are under their command. And now we are going to talk about binding Satan. This is where the rubber meets the road. We understand why we're in the positions we're in, because of spiritual warfare and because of ignorance. But now we're going to get to the nitty-gritty, binding the strong man. And before we begin, I would like to pray a prayer of confidence that the Lord is with us and the angels of God are surrounding us, that no evil befalls us as we come into the knowledge of the truth. I plead the blood of Jesus over you and myself that has been involved in deliverance ministry. And as we bind Satan and the ruling spirits, it is wise to command the devils to unlink themselves. They are jointly combined in a nest, so to speak, huddled together. I want you to picture this. And in the name of Jesus, forbid them to help one another. This is very important because they will strive to help one another. Let me give you an example. I may be casting out a deep-rooted spirit of rejection, but the lesser spirit, which is a mocking spirit, may come forth in the midst of that to distract me. So we have to, in the name of Jesus, forbid them to help one another. And a mocker is a great distractor, so that you wouldn't continue in the binding and rebuking of demons within the person that you're bringing through deliverance. And as the deliverance is coming to a close, if you feel that all demonic spirits have not been revealed and cast out, ask the devils to reveal themselves individually by using your authority in the name of Jesus. Then as they reveal themselves, cast them out. Don't be afraid. Know that the Holy Spirit is in you, doing the work in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, who already overcame these demonic presence on the cross. So what you're doing is you're executing the judgment. For example, if there is a ruling spirit of strife, there could be six other lesser devils, such as the spirit of turmoil, the spirit of conflict, anger, the spirit of confusion, and a biggie, the spirit of bitterness, which is a deep-rooted demonic presence in the gut of an individual. And that is the bowels of emotions. And they will react emotionally. They have a deep-rooted spirit of bitterness. And only through the supernatural gift of discernment can we know which spirits are indwelling if all demons have been dealt with. Only through discernment can you know and understand this. Don't rush. You are working with a person's life. And so that concludes the chapter in my book, Discernment of Spirits. And if you have been following me, you would have now the understanding of the different demons that operate in a person's life and how to get rid of those spirits so the person that you're dealing with can be set free. Now, in Chapter 6 in Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights, the book that I wrote, in Chapter 6, we are going to talk about the manifestation of devils and recognizing our enemies. It is so important that you begin to see how incredible it is and that you have the confidence that Christ is in you as a fact, working in the Holy Spirit to deliver anyone who has been in bondage. He has done it when he walked the face of the earth, and he says what he did, we should do also, even greater works. Therefore, it behooves us to do his will. And how important is it right now? Oh, folks, you know how incredibly important it is to understand and discern this warfare in the times we're in, because the pit of hell has been opened and evil is pouring out and getting more powerful each day. We must then put our armor on. We must be free ourselves to be able to do this work of the army of God. And put our armor on and go forward as a great army of the Lord and take captive the enemy. What we need to see and need to understand is that we are executing the judgment. The work has already been done. Jesus Christ did it on the cross. He overcame the works of the enemy. But we have a tendency to open the door through sin to give them power where they need not have power. And we have been talking about this. We have been dealing with this in the book. And it's been presented to you in what doors we open and how that happens by generational bloodline curses. And we have not dealt with them. We have not overcome them by the blood of the Lamb. We're still in some sin issues that we have not truly repented of, and it is an open opportunity for the enemy now to do his work against you as a force of destruction. So we are going to talk about the manifestation of devils, recognizing our enemies clearly and precisely, or how else can you do a precise warfare against the evil one? You will not be able to. You will try and do generalizations of this idea and concept, but it isn't going to work. What works is the Holy Spirit within you, giving you discernment of what spirits you are working against in that individual, and also giving you discernment that Christ is in you as a truth by the wisdom of the Holy Spirit to cast out, bind, and deliver whoever it is you're ministering to from the bondage they're in. And during the process of deliverance, devils will begin to manifest or show evidence of themselves in various ways. Undoubtedly, the most common manifestation is coughing. And you may think, well, the person just has a cold. You will note that prior, perhaps, to the deliverance, there was no coughing. You didn't discern that that individual had a cold of any kind. And so you went on with the deliverance. But then in the process of it, the individual starts to cough. This happens often, quite often. Undoubtedly, it is a common manifestation. The cough may be dry, but sometimes it is accompanied by mucus. In extreme cases, there may be vomiting, spitting, or foaming at the mouth. Don't get frightened over that. Just prepare for it. If you have a container nearby during the process of deliverance, if you have been able to set up, that's wonderful. If not, you're going to have to deal with it. And there may be the spitting. They're coughing, they're spitting, and they need a container for that. And if you don't have one, you're going to have to deal with it. And then there is the foaming at the mouth, which is an unpleasant sight, but it is the work of the enemy coming forth in a manner in which he does. So don't be concerned about these things and don't be worried about it. Now, it could be that some that have come for deliverance could have a cold and may have been coughing prior. So it is, again, up to you to discern whether or not that is true or ask. Nothing wrong in asking. And other manifestations will come forth, including crying. That happens quite often. Screaming. No, or anything to that effect of a rebellion against coming out from that individual who is in the process of deliverance. Sometimes it's a heavy sighing, like, oh, there's a struggle going on there. And then there could be a roaring. You actually hear a roaring and a yawning at the same time. Many times, yawning is another absolute truth of a deliverance being revealed. When that person wasn't yawning before they came, you know that they're coming out. These demons are being released from the individual going through the deliverance. And people who yawn or sigh out, their devils are just as delivered as those who have the more violent manifestation, because it could depend on how deep this bondage is. So don't think just because they just sighed or yawned that they didn't really go through deliverance. They did. Again, it has to do with the depth of the bondage and the stronghold of the enemy. If it is a strong man that has caught this individual and really brought him through some horrendous sin, it will be a more violent manifestation. The demons do not want to loose that individual. The demons are in their comfortable house, as said in Scripture, and if they come out, they have to go dry. That's why they're cast out to the dry place, because there is no human being that they are within where they are receiving the manifestation of what they desire to see and the warmth and the blood of that individual. It's horrible, but they are living through that individual. They are living through that individual in a most glorious way for them, because manifestation for them is growing. But if they're being cast out, they're not going to have that warm-blooded individual, are they? They're going to be dry, and they're going to search. And then if they can't find another house to occupy, they're going to come back. And when they do, it'll be seven times worse. So we need to know what we're dealing with here. But don't be afraid, because God is with you every inch of the way. In another common manifestation is one that shows itself in the hands. You have to be alert. Again, the spirit of discernment is the incredible discernment that is working with you. It is a gift from God, the gift of discernment. You will note that the fingers may become extended and rigid. Arthritic spirits often manifest themselves in the hands. The hands become very stiff and the fingers gnarl. And this may happen even in the hands of teenagers and young people who as yet have had no visible indication of arthritis, yet the devil of arthritis is already at work. Arthritis is a common demonic stronghold in multitudes of people's lives, Christians and non-Christians. Arthritis is one of the oldest manifestations of sickness and disease from the very foundations of the earth. The devil may also manifest itself by pain and twisting of the body. How is that? It does not want to come out. So twist that body back and forth. The head may go back and forth. The body may go through from the shoulders back, and the legs may stiffen. And so the pain may increase until that spirit is out. Don't be afraid of it. God is setting that captive free. That individual is going to walk free of these manifestations, never again to have to walk in arthritis where mother may have had it, dad may have had it, grandpa, grandma, all the way down the line, great-grandma, great-grandpa, fourth to fifth generation for those who hate God and do not serve him. And it may even go into deeper generational bondage. You see, everything is in the DNA. If grandma and grandpa or mother and father had arthritis, it is most likely that it'll be in your DNA, covered as a youth because you're vital, you're youthful. But when the body starts to go through a death process, it will start coming out in a greater force. And you'll find out that you had arthritis where you never thought you did. But realize in most cases, in almost all cases, it's a generational bloodline curse. Break that curse. Bind that spirit. Cast it out of the individual. The arthritic spirit wants to stay, wants to have that person unto death. He wants to cripple that individual in some way, some manner. Cast that devil out in the name of Jesus Christ. You know, what I realized too in the practice of deliverance is that one of the most awesome manifestations is that of a death spirit. And when I say awesome, the spirit can be seen on the countenance of the person as a deadness in the eyes. And I say awesome not in a positive way, but awesome in how it manifests in such a manner of death. The spirit can be seen in the countenance of the person, a deadness in the eyes. Have you ever seen that in an individual? The eyes are just deadened. It's a spirit of death. And quite often the person's skin has no vitality and has a feel of lifelessness, like it just kind of has nothing of strength. I'm talking about the flesh itself, your physical flesh, as though it has no strength. And the skin of the person takes on a waxen pallor of death look. And the spirit of the person is depressed and may have been involved with other severe sicknesses that you're not aware of. And sometimes odors are another factor of the manifestation of devils and death. You may smell an unpleasant odor around the person being delivered. Now you may say to yourself, I don't want to go into this. This is horrible. Why would I put myself in this position? Only because you love. Only because you care. Only because you want to see the captive set free. Only because you want to see victory for the Lord Jesus Christ in his body. Only because you want to see that individual be set free to serve God with all their heart, all their might, all their soul. And sickness and disease stands in the way of that. Now, oftentimes people will turn in a greater desire when they're sick for God, but they wean weak and the strength oftentimes is taken away. And if you can deliver them, they could have a stronger understanding of the power and love of our Lord Jesus Christ and our Heavenly Father. It's wonderful. It's an incredible experience for anyone. And if we find ourselves not being the Christians we need to be, and we see that others want to be better than they are, we're in helping them get set free, including our own lives. You heard the cry of Pastor Vincent's heart that people need to begin to be greater in their love and their ability to serve one another and to care for one another. But it's hard to do when you're in bondage, almost impossible at times. You know, devils may cry out while you're going through a deliverance with a loud voice. This could be frightening. This can be scary. But realize that there's nothing to be afraid of. Satan can't touch you. You've gone through your deliverance. You understand the work of deliverance. You also have discernment of spirit, knowing how strong the Holy Spirit is within to do this. And you have faith. You know, I have heard piercing demonic screams after the spirit of torment has been cast out. And sometimes this happens when the devil of witchcraft is cast out. That spirit is powerful. Why? It rests on total rebellion. It takes the person into such a darkness, they're not even aware themselves how captured they are. And then some begin to become aware and work with Satan to bring havoc to the work of God. And then others aren't so aware of it, but their rebellion shows it. And if you don't help them out, they could be captivated totally by this horrible spirit of witchcraft. And it is an abusive spirit. It is an ugly spirit in individuals and very cunning. You have to be able to recognize it when you see it. There could be people in your church, people around and about you, that are involved in witchcraft. And unless you know by having the spirit of discernment what you're around, you'll be caught up into it because that spirit wants you. And I'm not here to frighten you. I'm here to make sure you're wise in the ways of the Holy Spirit and the ways of God, and you understand the wiles of Satan himself. This way, your church, whatever church you belong to, or whatever group you're involved in through prayer or intercession, you'll understand the works of the enemy a lot better, and you'll be a lot wiser. And by the way, many intercessors are witches, but the body of Christ in their ignorance don't even recognize or understand that. My people perish from a lack of knowledge, saith the Lord. And so when you're in any kind of prayer group, intercession, especially the one leading, not to be suspicious of them, please, but through the work of the Holy Spirit, by discernment, see whether or not you can detect the wiles of the enemy working. If not, that's wonderful. But they do like to get involved in prayer meetings, and they do love to take position of control. Again, this is not to frighten you, make you suspicious, make you paranoid. It's divine and divine understanding of the things of the enemy and how he has been able to keep the church down, not victorious, imprisoned, in bondage, confused. It's time you rise up, body of Christ. It's time you understand the works of the enemy. It's time you love God with so much of your being that you want to see the church set free, including people you love, people you love, individuals in your life. You can contact me by emailing me at patriciajoyxavier@gmail.com. Again, patriciajoyxavier@gmail.com. I would love to hear from you. If you're interested in what you're hearing, I would love to hear from you. Please email me if you so desire, because we can work together into something quite incredible. And if you want to start by reading the book I wrote, just go to Amazon online and type in Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights. Again, Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights by Patricia Joy Xavier. I thank you for listening, and I will talk to you tomorrow about more. God bless you. You are loved. Have a wonderful day.